بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Okay, today this is our session number 25. Session number 25. Reading from Lessons in Arabic Language, Book 1, Al-Mustawa Al-Awwal. Dr. Fahd Abdurrahim, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. Today, it is our intention to work with lesson number 14. But before we do that, looking at the proposed schedule for homework assignments for this past week, we should have reviewed at least, lessons 1 through 7, the English keys and vocabulary, just to keep up with what we have learned in the past. We're going to try to every week try to review a few chapters at least, if not all of them, as much as you can. One day is exclusively for review. So we're going to look at some of the things related in those first few chapters, and we might even go beyond that. And then we have the homework review sheet number 10. We're going to go through that exercise one page. A quick review of the English key for this lesson 14, and then we're going to do the Arabic text, and we had for homework all of the exercises, 1 through 6, and the memorization of the vocabulary words. So we'll see how much of that we can actually cover, but in any case, we're going to do a quick review of the previous lessons. We're going to do the homework review sheet number 10. We're going to look at, just quickly, the English key. We covered it last week. Maybe there were a couple of points that need some emphasis, and I may take a few minutes to go over some of those points in a little bit more detail. And the vocabulary also from the English key, and then we're going to go to the main body of the text, Arabic text, and the exercises. That's what we're going to try to accomplish today, as much of it as we can. Okay, so the first thing that we want to look at is a review of the earlier lessons. In terms of the earlier lessons, by now, most of what we covered in the first seven lessons, most of that, whoever has been with us from the beginning, inshallah, we should know that very well by now. There shouldn't be any difficulty with the things that we covered in the earlier lessons, because we've been reviewing them weekly, and by now, inshallah, hopefully, most of us, have mastered the points from the first few lessons, okay? So, to summarize in the first few lessons, the first main point that we dealt with was the ism ishara, okay? And we had the ism ishara for things which are masculine and singular, for things which are near, hadha, and for things which are far, dharika, in lessons 1 and 2. As far as the things which are feminine, the ism ishara, the demonstrative pronoun, we had the ism ishara for things which are feminine, singular, near, hadihi, and for things which are far, tilka, in lessons 6 and 7. So in these four lessons, 1 and 2 and 6 and 7, we should have covered the ism ishara for things which are singular, masculine or feminine, near or far. Hadha and dhalika for masculine, and hadihi and tilka for feminine. As far as the plural, asma al-ishara, demonstrative pronouns, we had them in lesson 13. We had ha'ulai for things which are near, and ulaika for things which are far. So the only thing that we didn't cover until now for ism ishara are the duals, the things when they are dual, two. And we'll take them in the future. So this is the first concept that everybody should know well from lesson 1 and 2 and 6 and 7, is the demonstrative pronoun, the ism ishara. When you want to point to something and say, this is a book, or that is a book, for things masculine, hadha kitabun or dhalika kitabun. If it was feminine, you want to say, this is a tree, or that is a tree. So you say hadhihi shajaratun or tilka shajaratun. Okay, if it is plural for human beings and you want to point to a group of men or women that are near, then you say haulai, these. Ha'ulai rijal, ha'ulai nisa. Yani the ism ishara for plural, ha'ulai, is used for masculine and feminine. Whether they are males or females, men or women. If they are far and you want to say those, you say ulaika. Rijal, ulaika, nisa. So this is the first concept that inshallah hopefully everybody knows well. Hadha means this or this is. So if you say hadha kitabun, it means this is a book. In lesson 3, we had the explanation of the definite article. The alif lam at-ta'rif. Okay, and along with that, we also had the explanation of words that have the definite article attached to them, but they begin with a sun letter. So we said that the Arabic consonants, excluding alif, alif is not a consonant, and it's a letter of the alphabet that's used, and it has a sif for hamza or elongation of fatha. So we said that the consonants in the Arabic alphabet are 28. 14 of them are sun letters, 14 of them are moon letters. If a word begins with a sun letter, harf shamsi, then if you add alif lam to that word, then you have to remember that the lam is merged into the sun letter. So you don't say al samad, as in the Quran, kul huwa Allahu, ahad, Allahu as-samad. As-samad, you don't say al-samad because sa'ad is a sun letter, so you say as-samad. And the same thing, shams, you don't say al-shams because sheen is a sun letter, so you say as-shams. So this merging of the lam, of the definite article, into a word that begins with a sun letter, we had in lesson 3. Definite article means that a word is definite, the book, for example, as opposed to kitabun with tanween, a book. The distinction between the definite article and the indefinite article, tanween, and the sun letters and the moon letters. In lesson 4, we have prepositions and pronouns. Okay, and we also had prepositions in other lessons other than in lesson 4. In lesson 4, we had min and ila and fi and ala. And in lesson 6, we had li. And in lesson 10, we had bi. So, we had prepositions, not only in lesson 4, but in lessons that follow. And the main thing that we should know now about prepositions is that the object of the preposition, if you say fi al-bayt or fi baytin, then we know that the noun that's the object of the preposition takes kasra, becomes majrur, genitive case, and it takes kasra. If it has alif lam, it takes a single kasra. If it doesn't have alif lam, it takes a double kasra. So you say fi al-bayti with a single kasra, or fi baytin with a double kasra, because it doesn't have alif lam. This is the same rule for all the prepositions. The object of the preposition, the noun that comes after it, is in the genitive case. We say it's majrur, and the primary sign of being majrur is kasra. So this is what we had in lesson 4, prepositions, and we also had pronouns, personal pronouns. We had huwa, and hiya, and ana, and anta. Okay, and then, later on we had possessive pronouns. Okay, we had possessive pronouns in lesson 10. Okay, so, in lesson 10 we had the corresponding possessive pronouns for the personal pronouns that we had in lesson 4. Personal pronouns means when you're talking about yourself. Ana muslimun. Ana is a personal pronoun, as opposed to the possessive pronoun ya al mutakallam. When you want to show possession of something, you say my house, bayti. So the ya on the end, that's preceded by kasra, is the possessive pronoun showing possession. And say his house, baytuhu. Her house, baytuha. Your house, masculine singular, baytuka. Okay, so we had the possessive pronouns that correspond to ana and huwa and hiya and anta in lesson 4. We had the possessive pronouns in lesson 10 that correspond to them. And then in 12 and 13 and 14 and 15, and we had the remaining possessive pronouns and personal pronouns. And in each lesson we had something from that. In lesson 5 we had the idafa construction. And when two words are joined together, they show a relationship. Like, baytu Muhammadin, the house of Muhammad. Or, miftah as-sayyara, the key of the car. Okay, it's not owned, it shows possession, that is related to the car. Or babul bayti, the door of the house, it's a part of the house. So the idafa construction, it shows possession sometimes, shows ownership sometimes, it shows something being a part of something else sometimes, or related to it, like the key of the car. It's not a part of the car, but it's related to the car. Okay, so this idafa construction has rules, and we've talked about them several times. The main rules of idafa construction is that when you translate it, literally you should translate it with of. But you don't have to, but that is the literal translation. Baytu Muhammadin means the house of Muhammad. You can't say Muhammad's house, but if you translate it with of, you're safe. Okay, the other thing you need to know about the idafa construction is that there are two parts of it. The first part is called the Mudaf, and the second part is called the Mudaf Ilehi, and the rules concerning them are almost opposites of each other, okay? The first part, the Mudaf, never takes Alif Lam or Tanween. The second part takes either Alif Lam or Tanween. The first part, it's I'rab. It can be Marfu'un, Mansub, or Majru'a, meaning it can take Dhamma, Kasra, Fatta. The second part is always Majru'a with Kasra, yani primary sign being Kasra. So we had that in Lesson 5. And we also had Ya and Nida in Lesson 5. The vocative Ya, when you're calling somebody Ya, Muhammadu. Okay, Muhammadun, and he loses his Tanween after Ya and Nida, it takes a single Dhamma. In Lesson 6 we already talked about, we said that we had the Ism Ishara for feminine, things which are near and far, Hadhihi and Tilka. And we also had in that Lesson 6 things related to how do you transform a noun or an adjective to being feminine by adding ta marbuta. And that ta marbuta is always in any word preceded by the letter before, it must have fatha. Alright, so you change azizun, feminine, by adding ta marbuta, being preceded by fatha. So azizun becomes azizatun. Azizatun. Kabirun, kabiratun. Yani the ta marbuta is always preceded by fatha. In Lesson 8 and 9, we had important matters related to in Lesson 8, the Ism Ishara that has a Badal, yani that can be exchanged with, okay? So, we said that whenever Ism Ishara is followed by a noun with Alif Lam, that's a Badal. So you can use either one of them separately without the other, or you can use them together. Okay, so you can say, هذا الكتاب كبيرون. This book is big. So the badal means that what? You can use هذا without الكتاب. You can just say هذا كبيرون, pointing to a book. Say هذا كبيرون. Okay? Or you can get rid of the اسم إشارة and just use the badal for it. الكتاب كبيرون. الكتاب كبيرون. Okay, so the point is here that these two words can be exchanged for one another. Or you can use them together for يعني more clarity. The Ism Ishara that has a Badal. Yani the Ism Ishara that's followed by a noun with Alif Lam. That Ism Ishara can be masculine, feminine, singular, plural, whatever. You can use it with Hada, you can use it with Dharika, use it with Tilka, Hadihi, and so on. And also in Lesson 8 we had the Ism Maksur. Yani the noun that ends with Alif. Alif Mamduda or Alif Maksura, like America or Britannia, yani Inkeltara or Musa, Isa. Yani these words that end with Aleph, either the straight up and down Aleph, Aleph Mamduda, or the Aleph that looks like a Ya at the end of the word without its two dots, Aleph Maksura. Words that end with this, we don't see the vowel ending. We don't see the vowel ending because Aleph, as I mentioned just a little earlier, is not a consonant. It does not take a vowel. It's a letter of the alphabet, it's not a consonant. So it doesn't take a vowel. So when you see a word like Musa, yani the Aleph on the end of it, Aleph Maksura, we don't see a vowel on it. Even if Musa is in the position where it's the Mubtada, or the Khabar, or the Fa'il, and it's Marfu'un, but we don't see Dhamma. So we don't see the vowel changing when that word changes from being Marfu'un to Mansubun to Majrurun. We don't see the vowel changing. That's called the Ism Al-Maksur. An Ism that ends with Fata Aleph. Whether it's Aleph Mamduda or Aleph Maksura, doesn't matter. We don't see the vowel change. This is different from a word that's Mabniyun. Yani that it's mabniyun fixed on dhamma or kasra or fatha, and it doesn't matter if it's marfu'un, it takes dhamma. If it's mansubun, in the place where it should be mansubun, it still takes dhamma. If it's in the place where it should be majrun, it still takes dhamma. So we don't say it's marfu'un or mansub or majrun, we say it's mabniyun in the place where it should be marfu'un. Mabniyun fixed, but it's in the place where it should be majrun, or in the place where it should be mansub. Yani, so we don't see the vowel ending changing. It could be a sukun, it could be a fatha, kasra, dhamma, but it remains the same no matter what position it's in. If it's in the position of being marfu'un or mansub or majrur, it remains with one fixed vowel ending. That's mabniyun. The ism maksur is not mabniyun. We don't see any vowel on it at all. Its vowel, yani, is understood to be dhamma or kasra or fatha, but we don't see it. So that's different than a word that's mabniyun. In Lesson 9 we had the Naat and the Man'ud and the rules concerning it, three of them of the four. And we know that the Naat, an adjective, follows the word that is describing or qualifying. If you want to say a big house, you say Baytun Kabirun. The adjective Kabir has to follow it. And it also has to agree with it in being masculine or feminine, in being definite or indefinite, in being marfu'un or mansub or majrur, and also the fourth matter has to agree with it in number, meaning singular, dual, or plural. But we didn't cover that in lesson 9 when we talked about the na'at and the man'ut. In lesson 10, I already mentioned that we had the possessive pronouns, ka and hu and ha and e, like baytu ka, your house, speaking to an individual man, baytu hu, his house, baytu ha, her house, bayti, my house. These are the possessive pronouns that are connected, yani at the end of a noun to show possession. Okay, and they correspond to the personal pronouns that we had in lesson 4. We also had in lesson 10 the introduction to the Asma al-Khamsa, Ab and Akh, and we said that these words, only when they are in idalfa, connected in idalfa to another word following them, they have a special rule, and that is when they are marfoon, the sign of them being marfoon is not dhamma, it's wow. If they are majroor, the sign of them being majroor is not kasra, it's ya. And if they are mansoob, the sign of them being mansoob is not fatha, it's alif. Okay, these are special words called asma al-khams. We introduce to them, yani briefly, and with two words, ab and akh. And we also had yani some further conjugation of the past tense verb, dhahabta, anta, dhahabta, and dhahabtu, ana, dhahabtu. Okay, so this is also yani conjugating the past tense verb is coming in the lessons 10 and 12 and 13 and 14 like this. So also the conjugation of the past tense verb, we had yani the initial introduction to it. I think the first time we were introduced to the past tense verb was in lesson 4, I think, somewhere early on, or 5, somewhere like that. And then, and in these later lessons, we are introduced to the further conjugation of the past tense verb, yani by adding a suffix to the end of it. Any verb, you add that same suffix to it, and it, yani, takes on that meaning. In other words, if you want to say, if you're speaking to an individual male, anta, and you want to say, you went, you say, dhahabta. So any other verb, you also add ta to it. Jalasa, jalasta. Yani akala akalta. The ta means that you're talking to an individual male. Second person, masculine, singular. Anta dhahabta. The same thing, you add two to the end of it, means you're talking about yourself. Ana dhahabtu. You add two to the verb dhahaba, it means I did it. Okay? If I want to say I sat, jalasa jalastu. I wrote, kataba katabtu. So you add these suffixes to the end of the past tense verb, yani to show the fa'il, the doer of the action. Is it masculine? Is it feminine? Is it singular? Is it plural? Is it first person, second person, or third person? And we also had in some of these lessons words that are mamnu'un min as-sarf. I think the first time we had it probably was in lesson 4. Yes, we had feminine. We said in lesson 4 that feminine proper nouns, the names of women, females, yani whether they have tarmabutu or not, all feminine proper nouns are mamnu'un min as-sarf, meaning they don't take tanween. So you don't say Fatimatun, you say Fatimatu. You don't say Zainabun, you say Zainabu. Feminine, proper nouns, the names of females, do not take tanween. We had that in lesson 4. And in lesson 9 we had any adjectives that have an extra alif and noon, like Jawan and Atashan and Ghadban and yani like this. These words, the extra alif and noon, indicate that this pattern, yani of adjectives, is also mamnu' min as-sarf. It doesn't take tanween. You don't say Jawanun. Atashan nun, doesn't take tanween. And a third category of words that are mamnu'un min as-sarf that don't take tanween is masculine proper nouns if they end with the feminine ending ta mabuta, like talhatu, hamzatu, usamatu, and so on. These words are masculine proper nouns, and masculine proper nouns normally take tanween, but not if they end with ta mabuta. And we have a further group of words that are mamnu'un min as-sarf, and that is in lesson 13 we had yani some broken plural patterns. Two of them that are mamnu'un min as-sarf is af'ila'u and fu'ala'u. Alright? Like ulama'u. Fu'ala, ulama. Af'ila, like what? Aghniya'u. Atibba'u. Okay? So these are the main things that we covered in the earlier lessons before what we're up to right now. I think in lesson 11 it was just a review. And in lesson 12 we had more possessive pronouns, personal pronouns, and more conjugation of the past tense verb. And we also have the feminine relative pronouns. So we also have relative pronouns, alladhi for masculine singular, and allati for feminine singular. And in lesson 13, I think, we had alladhina, I think in lesson 13, somewhere around there. Of course, I'm going to stop with lesson 13 because we're on lesson 14 now, right? So in lesson 13, we had things related to plurals. Okay, all type of things related to plurals. Plural personal pronouns, plural possessive pronouns, past tense of the conjugation of the past tense verb, plurals for conjugation of the past tense verb, and so on. All of this we had in lesson 13 in its three parts. So this is, inshallah, a comprehensive, brief summary of all the lessons that we covered up until now. Most of it. I mean, there may be some other minor points that we also dealt with, but these are the main points that we dealt with in the lessons preceding lesson 14. Okay, after this review, and Annie, if you were to have a test on this, and I were to ask you to any words that are related to asma al-ishara, or things that are related to al-idhafa, or things that are related to possessive pronouns, or personal pronouns, or prepositions, or conjugation of the past tense verb, and by now, inshallah, everybody should be finding the use of these things relatively easy. If you have questions, please let me know that there's something that you're not understanding well, you're not grasping it, that we had in a past lesson. Please let me know, inshallah, in a future session. I'll try to go over it and explain it. I'll try to devote some time specifically to dealing with those issues that people are having problems with. If you're really not understanding, you're not grasping it, please send me an email. Okay. The homework sheet that we had for homework review sheet, number 10. Okay, so this homework review sheet is primarily dealing with pronouns and also prepositions, but mostly all the prepositions used in this exercise is just one of them, fi. We're not using ila or min in this particular exercise, but primarily dealing with the pronouns huwa and hiya. Okay, the instruction says, read the sentence, then answer the questions in full. Iqra al-jumlata, read the sentence, thumma ajib, then answer, anil as'ilati, answer the questions, ijabatan kamilatan, with a complete answer, full sentence answer. Okay, so read the sentence. The sentence is in the box right underneath that instruction. There are two parts of the sentence giving us two pieces of information. If you understand those two pieces of information, you should be able to answer all the questions on this page. 8 questions. Okay, each question is just rephrasing the question in a different way to ask about the same piece of information. The first piece of information is, Aminatu fil matbakhi. Aminatu fil matbakhi. If you understand that first part of this sentence, you should be able to answer all the questions related to Amina. Okay? Amina is in the kitchen. So all the questions are going to be related to that statement, that reality, that Amina is in the kitchen. So if you understand that well, any question that comes about Amina, you'll be able to answer them. The second statement in this sentence is, وَزَوْجُهَا فِي الْغُرْفَةِ wa, and زَوْجُهَا her husband fil gurfati is in the room. Amina is in the kitchen and her husband is in the room. So any question about her husband, you should be able to answer it. Where is he at? He's in the room. Anything that is asked about him, this is one thing you need to know. He's in the room. So you should be able to answer every question. However they rephrase it, and it still comes back to the same thing. He's in the gurfa. She's in the matbakh. He's in the ghurfa. Okay, let's read through these questions quickly. Hopefully everybody already done them and hopefully did not find any difficulty with them. Question number one. Aina aminatu. Meaning, what does that mean? Aina aminatu. Where is Amina? Okay, we know where she is, right? Because the sentence told us clearly, aminatu fil matbakh. So, using a pronoun, because we're going to use pronouns, right? Huwa and hiya, in the answers. We're going to use pronouns. So, Aina Aminatu, the pronoun for Amina, she. Hiya, fil matbakhi. Okay, if you said Amina fil matbakhi, that would be correct. But for this exercise, we want you to use the pronouns. Because this exercise is, training you to use the pronouns, huwa and hiya. Sentence number two. Afil gurfati hiya is she in the room? This sentence directly could be easier for you to understand, perhaps if it said, Ahiya fil gurfati. But in any case, the meaning is the same. Afil gurfati hiya? Is she in the room? Now, we just said that the only thing you need to know about Amina is she's in the kitchen. So if somebody said, is she in the room? You have to say, La. Hiya fil matbakhi. لا هي في المطبخ. No, she is in the matbakh. Third question. أفي الحديقة هي؟ أهي في الحديقة؟ يعني is she in the حديقة? In the garden? We already know she's in the matbakh, right? So the answer is لا. Is she in the garden? لا. هي في المطبخ. She is in the kitchen. No, she is in the kitchen. Number four. أفي المطبخ هي؟ يعني meaning أهي في المطبخ؟ Is she in the kitchen? Now we already said that in the first question. Where's Amina? هي في المطبخ. So this is another way of asking the same question. أفي المطبخ هي؟ Is she in the kitchen? نعم. هي في المطبخ. Okay, so the first four questions is about Amina. The second four questions are going to be about زوجها. What do we know about زوجها? هو في الغرفة. زوجها في الغرفة. That's what we read in the sentence at the beginning of this lesson. So the next question is about her زوجة. Number one. Number five, I mean. وأين زوجها? And where is her husband? Answer. زوجها في الغرفة. Or, using the pronoun, which is better here, right? Instead of saying زوجها, we should say هو. هو في الغرفة. أين زوجها? Where is her husband? He is in the غرفة. Number six. أفي المطبخ هو? Meaning, أهو في المطبخ? Is he in the kitchen? We just said he's in the غرفة, so he's not in the kitchen, right? لا. هو في الغرفة. No, he is in the غرفة. Number seven. أفي الحديقة هو? Is he in the garden? يعني أفي الحديقة هو? أهو في الحديقة? لا. هو في الغرفة. And the last question is about both parts of this sentence, about Amina and زوجها. من في المطبخ? Okay, that's another way of asking the question. The first time we asked about Amina, we said, أين Amina too? The next time we asked about Amina, يعني أفي المطبخ هي? Is she in the kitchen? Okay, now here's a third way of asking about Amina. من في المطبخ? Because we know she's in the kitchen, right? So, من في المطبخ? Who is in the kitchen? آمنة في المطبخ. ومن في الغرفة? ومن في الغرفة? And who is in the room? يعني زوجها. وزوجها في الغرفة. Okay, I hope this lesson, I mean this exercise was يعني clear to everyone and that we didn't have any major difficulties with it. Okay, now what we're going to do is go into the lesson for today, lesson 14. And last week we went over the English key for lesson 14. So now what we're going to do is just briefly look at the English key quickly and then go into, we didn't read the Arabic text for this lesson. We just went over the, and we were finishing up lesson 13 last week, and we went over the English key only. So today we're going to just review quickly the English key, and then we're going to read the Arabic text for this lesson 14, and then we're going to go into the exercises. The Arabic text, oh, and also the vocabulary. I don't think we did the vocabulary last week. So we're going to read the, quickly look through the English key, because I went over it last week, and I'm just going to focus on one point that somebody sent me a question about. And then we're going to read the vocabulary, and then we're going to read the Arabic text and whatever exercises we can do. Okay, so let's look at the English key on page 41 and 42. And it ends on the top of 43, and the vocabulary is on page 43. That's what we're going to look at right now. Okay? So, let me just say this first. First thing I want to say is that this lesson is, to a great extent, a continuation. Any continuation of matters that we have covered previously. Okay, so what are those matters that we covered previously? Yani, personal pronouns, possessive pronouns, and conjugation of the past tense verb. Okay, those are matters that we covered previously, so we just want to extend the lesson to yani further conjugation of the past tense verb and yani additional pronouns, personal pronouns, and possessive pronouns. So in this lesson, we're going to have the personal pronoun and the possessive pronoun for the second person masculine plural. Yani antum and kum, kitabukum. Antum, you all are Muslimun. Baytukum, you all's masjid. Yani second person masculine plural. Personal pronoun antum, you all, and possessive pronoun kum. Okay, we had that in this lesson. The second thing that we're going to look at is the first person plural. Possessive pronoun and personal pronoun. Personal pronoun is nahnu. Nahnu Muslimun. Like antum muslimun, nahnu muslimun. That's the personal pronoun. The possessive pronoun is nun fata alif. Na. Alright, so how do we use that? Our house, baytuna, masjiduna, kitabuna. Okay, so we have nahnu, and we also have baytuna. Okay, this is the first person plural, personal pronoun and possessive pronoun. Okay, the third thing we had in this lesson is the second person masculine plural, yani. Pronoun for the conjugation of the past tense verb. And also, the first person plural pronoun for the conjugation of the past tense verb. Okay? So, second person, masculine plural. And when you're talking about a group of males, plural, second person, you're talking to them, I mean, not about them, talking directly to them. Entum. And you want to say they went, you say, entum dhahabtum. You want to say they sat, entum jalastum. You want to say they wrote? Antum katabtum. So you're going to add tum. Ta, dhamma, mim with sukun. Tum. That's going to be when you're talking to a group of men directly. Second person, masculine, plural. Antum, dhahabtum. Alright, so here we had the personal pronoun for second person, masculine, plural. The possessive pronoun. And now we have the pronoun for the fa'il in the past tense verb. Antum muslimun. Kitabukum al-Qur'an. وَأَنْتُمْ يَعْنِي جَلَسْتُمْ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ جَلَسْتُمْ. Okay? And we also had, for the first person plural, we had the personal pronoun نَحْنُ, the possessive pronoun نَا, بَيْتُنَا, and now we have the past tense conjugation of the past tense verb نَا. يعني the same form of the possessive pronoun in بَيْتُنَا, مَسْجِدُنَا, كِتَابُنَا, we have that also for the conjugation of the past tense verb. If you want to say, we went, you say, ذَهَبْنَا. We ate, أَكَلْنَا. We drank, شَرِبْنَا. You just add that pronoun, attached pronoun to the end of the verb, and this is going to be how you conjugate the past tense verb, by adding the pronouns to the end of the verb. So in this lesson we also have the conjugation of the past tense verb for second person masculine plural, ذَهَبْتُمْ, and first person plural, ذَهَبْنَا. Okay, we covered this last week, so I'm not reading the English key, I'm just trying to explain it a little bit. Also, we had in this lesson another group of words that are مَمْنُوا مِنَ الصَّرْفِ. In this lesson we had, and previously we had that feminine proper nouns are all مَمْنُوا مِنَ الصَّرْفِ. They don't take تَنْوِين. And we also had that some masculine proper nouns, the ones that end with termabuta, are mamnu min al-sarf. And we also had adjectives that end with alif and noon, like jaw'an, yani alif noon, jaw'an, that they are mamnu min al-sarf. And now we have that non-Arabic proper nouns are also, non-Arabic proper noun names are also mamnu min al-sarf. Like William, yani, like names of cities and countries, London, Pakistan, yani these are non-Arabic foreign proper nouns. They are mamnu' min al-sarf. And it's also mentioned in this lesson that most of the names of the prophets are non-Arabic. Therefore, they have no tanween. That's why we have Adamu, not Adamun. Ibrahimu, not Ibrahimun. Ishaqu, Ismailu, Yaqubu, and so on. Okay, there's an exception to this rule that non-Arabic, yani foreign proper nouns, are mamnu' min al-sarf. They don't take tanween. The exception to that is if that non-Arabic proper noun is a masculine non-Arabic proper noun and it only has three letters and the middle letter has sukun, and with those conditions, non-Arabic proper nouns normally don't take tanween. But the exception to that, where they do take tanween, is if that non-Arabic proper noun is a masculine non-Arabic proper noun and it only has three letters and the middle letter has sukun. Like Nuhun. Yani it's a non-Arabic proper noun, but it's masculine. It only has three letters, Nun, Waw, and Ha. And the middle letter, the Waw, has Sukun. So it does take Tanween. And likewise, Lutun. It's a non-Arabic proper noun, but it's masculine. And it only has three letters, Lam, Waw, and Fa. And the middle letter has Sukun, Lut. So therefore, it does take Tanween. Okay, so this is an exception to the rule. And then we also had in this lesson, I'm skipping number 6 because I want to come back to it. We had the word ayyu, which means which. It's always used in idalfa. Just like qablu and ba'du and ghayru are always used in idalfa. And dhu is always used in idalfa. This word is always used in idalfa. It's always going to be which house, which student, which date, which month, which year. It's always used in idalfa. So the word following it is going to be mudalfun ilayhi majrur. But the word itself, ayy, it is mu'rab, meaning it is not fixed on a certain vowel. It can take dhamma, kasra, or fatha, depending on its position in the sentence. If it's the object of a preposition, it will be majrur with kasra. If it's the object of a verb, it will be maf'ulun bi mansub with fatha. And if there's nothing acting upon it, or if it's the subject of the sentence, or the khabar of this, or the fa'il, or whatever like this, then it's going to be marfu'un dhamma. So the word ayyu can take any vowel, depending on its position in the sentence. Okay, the last thing that I want to mention in this lesson is what I got a question about this week, and I want to take some time and go over point number 6 from page 42. Okay, I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to try to explain it before we go on, yani past this point, because there was a question about it, and I know that in teaching this book in the past years, yani a lot of times people have questions about this particular point. Okay, so let's look at point number 6 on page 42, English key. It says, we have learned that mudalf is definite by position. We learned that in lesson 5. That mudalf, in the indalfa construction, the first part of it, the mudalf, is definite by position. Meaning, if the mudalf ilay is definite, then the mudalf automatically becomes definite. Because remember we said the mudalf never takes alif lam or tanween. I mentioned that in the review today, in the beginning of this session. The mudalf never takes alif lam or tanween. So if it's definite, how does it become definite? It becomes definite because the word that's following it, the mudalf ilay, is definite. If the word that's following the mudalf ilay is indefinite, then the mudalf is indefinite. So it is definite or indefinite by position, based on the word that follows it. Alright, so if the word that's following it is definite, it became definite. If the word that's following is indefinite, it became indefinite. Alright, so that's what they mean by here, that we have learned in lesson 5 that mudalf is definite by position. So when the mudalf has an adjective that's describing it or qualifying it, that adjective must be definite. The adjective that's describing must be definite. But the problem here is that normally the adjective immediately follows the noun. But in the idalfa construction, it's a construct phrase, meaning the two words are bound together and they can't be separated. So if you want to describe either the mudalf or the mudalf ilayhi, the adjective that describes it has to come at the end, after the mudalf ilayhi. So you might assume if the word comes after the mudalf ilayh, it's describing the mudalf ilayh. But it might be describing the mudalf. It can't follow the mudalf immediately because you can't separate the mudalf from the mudalf ilayh. Since you can't separate them, the adjective for the mudalf comes after the mudalf ilayh. And as well, the adjective for the mudalf ilayh comes after it. So the word that comes after mudalf ilayh could be describing the mudalf ilayh that is just before, or it could be describing the mudalf that is before that. So how do we know? We have to look at which word it agrees with. Because remember, an adjective, as we learned in lesson 9, it has to agree with the word that it's describing. The not has to agree with the man'ut, or the sifa has to agree with the mawsuf. It has to agree with it what? In being masculine or feminine. It has to agree with it in being definite or indefinite. And it has to agree with it in being marfu'un or mansub or majrur. It has to agree with it in number also, but we're not looking at that yet because we didn't take that yet. Alright, so if you see a construct phrase, and the mudalf and the mudalf ilayh is followed by an adjective, and you want to know which word it's describing, is it describing the mudalf, the first word, or is it describing the mudalf ilayh, the second word, you have to look and see if it is in agreement with which word in being definite or indefinite, in being masculine or feminine, in being marfu' or mansub or majrur. If both words, the mudalf and the mudalf ilayh, as in the example they gave us here, the imam's new house, baytul imami al-jadidu, both words are masculine. And both words are definite. Because bayt became definite because the mudalf ilayh is definite. So bayt is definite. And al-imam is definite. And bayt is masculine. And imam is masculine. And by the way, they're both singular too, but we're not looking at the number now. But if you pay attention, you see bayt is marfu'un with dhamma. And imam is mudalfun ilayhi majrur with kasra. So the adjective that describes bayt has to have dhamma. And if the adjective is describing imam, it has to have kasra. So in this example, baytu al-imami al-jadidu. So al-jadid has dhamma, so it's agreeing with baytu. So it is an adjective for bayt, the mudaf, not an adjective for imam. So the house of the imam, house is being described by al-jadid. So it became the new house of the imam, or the imam's new house. Meaning it has to be describing house. Okay, literally, it is the house of the imam became the new house of the imam. Or, if you want to say, the house of the imam means the imam's house, so it will be the imam's new house. Imam's new house. What is important here is that al-jadid, new, has to be describing house. Whether you say the new house of the imam or the imam's new house, the point is that new has to be describing house. How do we know that? Because it's an agreement with house in being masculine, in being definite, and in being marfu'un. It's an agreement with imam in being definite and in being masculine, but it's not an agreement with imam in i'rab. Imam is majrur with kasra, and al-jadid has dhamma. Okay, so this is the first point. The imam's new house, or the new house of the imam. In any case, we're saying new house, right? New is describing house. Here, they explain, baytu is the mudaf, and it is definite by position, meaning the mudaf ilay, al-imam, is definite, so it makes bayt definite. The same applies to the mudaf, whose mudaf ilayhi is a possessive pronoun. Yani, baytuhu al-jadidu, his new house. Yani, the same is applicable, meaning, bayt here is definite by position, because the mudaf ilayhi, the pronoun who, it's a pronoun. All pronouns are definite. Hu, ha, ka, ki, kum, hum, all pronouns are definite. So if a noun is connected to a pronoun, pronouns are all definite, that noun has to become definite. So here again, yani bayt, it became definite. In the first example, because baytul imam is connected to al-imam, and al-imam is definite. In the second example, baytuhu, who is a pronoun, so it's definite, so bayt became definite. Okay, so the point here is what? That the mudaf can't take alif lam or tanween, so how does it become definite? By the mudaf ilayhi being definite. If the mudaf ilayhi is indefinite, then it became indefinite. It also becomes definite, yani by the mudaf ilayhi having alif lam, or the mudaf ilayhi being a word that's definite, like pronoun. Pronouns are all definite. Alright, so I hope that that's clear. Here, in this first example, baytul imami, yani bayt is mudaf, and it is definite by position, because of its position being connected to the word al-imam, which is definite. So the same applies to the mudaf, whose mudaf ilayhi is a possessive pronoun, like baytuhu, or baytuha, her house, or baytuka, your house, or baytuna, our house. In any case, all of those are pronouns, they're all definite, it makes bayt definite. His new house, her new house, your new house, our new house, it's definite in any case. In that case, the adjective that's describing it has to be made definite. So since baytuhu, bayt is connected to who, bayt became definite, so al-jadid has to also be definite, so we have alif lam. Baytuhu al-jadid means his new house. Al-jadid is describing new house, it's describing house. Alright? And house is definite, because it's connected to a pronoun that's definite, and therefore the not or the sifat describing it, jadid, has to be definite with alif lam, al-jadid. Okay, now let's look at the two examples that probably is confusing for people. The same three words are in a sentence, but the vowel endings are different. Note the following. The imam's new house, new describing house, and the new imam's house, new here is describing imam. Okay, in the first sentence, new is describing house, the imam's new house. In the second example, new is describing the imam himself, the new imam's house, or the house of the new imam. So how do we know if al-jadid, in these two sentences, new, how do we know if it's describing house, or when it's describing the imam? Okay, the same words are given in each example, baytu, al-imam, al-jadid. Baytu, al-imam, al-jadid. Exact same words, but the voweling is going to be different on the adjective. So in the first sentence, baytul imami al-jadidu. So al-jadidu, is it describing baytu or al-imami? So bayt and imam are both masculine. Both of them are definite, but Baytu is marfu'un with dhamma, and al-imam is majrur with kasra. So al-jadidu has to be describing Baytu, because it's in agreement with it, and being marfu'un with dhamma. Let's look at the next sentence. Baytu al-imami al-jadidi. In this sentence, al-jadid is describing Baytu or al-imami. Well, how do we know? Bayt and imam are both masculine, like al-jadid. And Bayt al-imam and al-imam are both definite, like al-jadid. But Baytu is marfu'un with dhamma, in this case, and al-imamu is majrur with kasra. So if the not that comes after it, al-jadidi, has kasra, then that means it's in agreement with al-imami. It's majrur with kasra. So in this case, the second case, al-jadid, is describing al-imam, because it's in agreement with it, and being majrur. It's not describing bayt in the second sentence, because bayt is marfu'un, and al-jadidu in the second sentence has kasra. Alright, so that means, how do we know that al-jadid in the first sentence is describing bayt? Because bayt is marfu'un with dhamma, and al-jadid is marfu'un with dhamma. Unlike al-imam, which is majrur with kasra. In the second sentence, how do we know that al-jadidi is describing the imam and not the house? Because in this sentence, al-jadidi is majrur, like al-imami, with kasra. And baytu is marfu'un with dhamma, so it can't be describing baytu. Alright? So in the first sentence, baytu al-imami, al-jadidu is describing the bayt, the new house of the imam. Or the imam's new house. It's describing house. In the second sentence, Baytul Imami Al-Jadidi. Al-Jadidi is describing Al-Imami, the new imam's house, or the house of the new imam. It's describing imam. So I hope it's clear. I hope that this matter is clear, because it's really very, very important. Okay, let's get on with the lesson now. This is what we covered last week. We reached the vocabulary, which we didn't do last week, so we're going to do that first. And then after we do the vocabulary, inshallah, we will go on to the Arabic text and see what of the exercises we can do. For homework, we had all the exercises, so whatever we cover of them, yani, you should have already done them. Okay, let's look at the vocabulary on page 43. Hopefully you had a whole week to study this vocabulary, or maybe. Yani, we had this vocabulary from the week before, I think. So, we had at least 1 week, if not more, to study this vocabulary. Hopefully you know these words. Okay, what I want you to do now is I want you to not look at your book. Okay, if we were in the classroom, I would tell everybody to close your book. I don't need to tell you to close your book, because we're going to be on the honor system. Okay, so just don't look at your book. Just listen to what I'm reading and see if you know the meanings of any of these words, or most of them, or all of them. Okay, you can go back and study them later if you missed any. But for now, I want you to either close the book, or you don't have to close the book. Just don't look at it, or cover up the English meanings. You put a piece of paper over the English words, and just look at the Arabic words. If you want to follow me, I'm going to go on the right column first and just go down. If you just cover up the English words, that'll be just fine. When we get to the left column, the same thing. Just cover up the English words, and that will be just fine. Okay, so I'm going down the line reading. You can look at the Arabic words. Please don't look at the English. The first word, ad-dusturu. Ad-dusturu. Its meaning is constitution, and in reference to law. The laws of the land, the constitution. The next word, al-qiblatu. Al-qibla, yani we say, when you pray, you have to face the qibla. Al-qiblatu means the direction of prayer, or the prayer direction. The next word, al-mahkama. Al-mahkamatu. Yani al-mahkama, yani is the place where, yani, judgment is made. The courts of rulings, judgment, the law court, the court of law, al-mahkama. The next word, hafidun. Hafidun. Its plural is hafadatun. Hafadatun. Or hufada'u. They don't have hufada' in the book, but both of those are plurals for hafidun. Means a grandson. Masculine. It's plural, hafadatun. And the other plural is hufada'u. The next word, al-hadiqatu. Al-hadiqatu. I think we had this word previously. In any case, al-hadiqatu means what? It means a garden or park. Al-rabbu, with shadda on the ra, because it's a sun letter. and Shaddu and the Ba is part of the word. Ar-Rabbu. And it can be translated with different words. It's most commonly translated as Lord. And really, I mean, that's not a good translation for Ar-Rab. Because we know Rab is the Khalik, the creator. And Rab is the Malik, the owner, master, possessor. And Rab is the Raziq, the provider. And Rab is the, Mutasarrif, the one who has control over all affairs, and so on. So Lord, does it include all those meanings? I don't think so. But in any case, Ar-Rab, Rabb al-Alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next word, Yawmu as-Sabti. Two words, Yawmu as-Sabti. This is the word that's used for Saturday. The next word, Ash-Shahru. Ash-Shahru means what? The month. The month. Shahru, Ramadan. الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. So the next word, Rajabun. Rajabun. This is the name of, from the Islamic lunar months. The month of Rajab. The next word, Al-Yunanu. Al-Yunan means the country known as Greece. The next word, Ikhwatun. Ikhwatun. I think we had this word in lesson 13 in the broken plurals. Ikhwatun. Fi'latun. On the pattern of fi'latun. Ikhwatun means brothers. It's the plural of akhun. A brother. Another plural for akhun, and I think somebody else asked me a question about this. Ikhwatun is one plural for akh, and another plural for akh is ikhwanun. Ikhwanun. Ikhwatun and ikhwanun are both plurals of akhun. Okay, now let's go to the left-hand column. Please cover up the English words. This is like a quiz, right? Or a test or something, right? See if we know how many of these words we've learned in the past week. The first expression is ahlan, wa sahlan, wa marhaban. And all of that means welcome. Literally, ahlan means family, sahlan means easy, marhaban means welcome. Okay, so this is a common Arab expression. They say ahlan wa sahlan. Or ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban, meaning welcome. The next word, tuflatun. Tuflatun. Its masculine form is tiflun. With tarmabuta, tiflatun means a child. And with tarmabuta, means a female child or an infant. The next word, al-mataru. With fa. Al-mataru. Means the place where the airplanes take off. The airport. The next word, Al-Kulliyatu, with Shadda on the Lam and Shadda on the Ya. Al-Kulliyatu. Al-Kulliyah means the faculty or the college, any part of a university. And then they have different faculties. Kulliyatu At-Tibbi, the faculty of Tib, which is what? Medicine. Kulliyatu Al-Handasati. The kulliyah of al-handasa, meaning what? And remember muhandis, right? Kulliyatu al-handasa. The faculty of engineering. Kulliyatu at-tijarati. Kulliyatu at-tijarati. The faculty of at-tijara. Remember the tajir is a merchant, right? Kulliyah at-tijara means the faculty of commerce. Business. Kulliyatu al-Sharia. Everybody knows al-Sharia, right? The faculty or the college of Sharia, the college of Islamic law. Okay, after this we have Nasraniyun with Shadda on the Ya. Nasraniyun means a Christian. Its plural is Nasara with Aleph Maksura on the end. Nasara. The Aleph Maksura is the Aleph that looks like a Ya at the end of the word without its two dots. The next word, An-Nabiyyu, with Shadda on the Ya. And the Shadda on the Noon, because the Noon is a sun letter. An-Nabiyyu means the Prophet, as opposed to Ar-Rasulu, means the Messenger. The next word, Ad-Deenu, Shadda on the Dal, because it's a sun letter. Ad-Deenu means the Deen, the religion, the way of life. Ad-Deen. And the last expression is Shafahullahu. Shafahu Allahu. May Allah grant him health. This is composed of three parts. Shafa is the past tense verb, which means to heal or to cure. And who is the pronoun? Shafahu. Heal him. And Allahu, yani the love of the Jalala, is the fa'il, the one who does healing. Shafa'ahu Allahu means, may Allah, yani grant him shafa'ah, healing. Okay, this is a past tense verb. Shafa'ahu Allah literally means, he healed him. But when the past tense verb is used, yani like this, it means it's for a request, yani it's a supplication. Shafa'ahu Allah, may Allah heal him. Naam. And this word, yani, we should know that the one who does the healing, Allah is ash-shafi, and this is different from ash-shafi'i, yani shafa'a, yani the imam, the great imam, ash-shafi'i, with an ayn on the end, ash-shafi'i, and this one is ash-shafi, yani from shafa, yashfi, yani to heal. Okay, that's the end of the vocabulary. So that's the end of the English key and the vocabulary that we didn't complete last week. Now we're going to go to the, yani, to the text, the Arabic text. And we had for homework all the exercises. We're not going to do them today, obviously, because we're going to run out of time. Let me just say here that in the next few weeks, inshallah, is the once they do the actual time changing, you know, the hour going back and all of that, we're going to be changing the time of the classes. So please pay attention for time changes on the classes. Probably this class is going to remain, you know, close to its time. The second class is probably going to change. We're going to see. But in any case, please pay attention to that. I want you to pay attention when they have the daylight saving time change. Okay, so because we're going to be subject, I'm going to be subjected to that here on the East Coast. And, you know, people on the East Coast are going to be subjected to that. People in other places may have a different timing. And other countries may have a different timing. But in any case, please pay attention to the adjustment of the time slot for these two classes, first book and second book. Okay, let's read. Let's see if we can at least read the Arabic text for this lesson. It's two pages. Let's go through it, looking for some of the new things that came in this lesson, and as well, yani, new vocabulary words, and yani, grammatical points, whatever, yani, that we are especially, yani, taking new in this lesson. Personal pronouns, possessive pronouns, past tense verb conjugation, yani words that are mamnu min sarf, yani non-Arabic proper nouns, and adjectives for idafa constructions. Please pay attention to these particular matters, yani especially. And then anything that we had from the previous lessons that may come in this lesson also, yani, let's try to identify some of those things. Okay, let's read. Page 72, I'm sorry, 72, 82. Ad-darsu ar-rabi'ah عشرة الدرس الرابع عشرة the 14th lesson. The first person is الفتيتو, and it's not one person. الفتية is the plural of فتاة, right? So it's a group of young men. And then there's Hamid, and I don't know who else is in this dialogue. Oh yeah, Mahmoud comes along also. So there's Hamid and there's Mahmoud. And then even at the end there's Yusuf, okay? So there's a group of young men, and they're going to have this conversation. Al-Fityatu, they start by saying, As-Salamu Alaikum. This is the way Muslims greet one another. As-Salamu Alaikum. This is a tremendous, beautiful greeting. It's a supplication. As-Salam here means the Salam of Allah. When you say As-Salamu Alaikum, it means, may the Salam of Allah, the peace, safety, and security of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon you. So they said, As-Salamu Alaikum. Hamid says, وَعَلَيْكُمُ السَّلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ Yani, and upon you all, وَعَلَيْكُمْ Okay, we had this kum, the possessive pronoun, in, yani, this lesson. Second person, masculine plural, kum, that corresponds to the personal pronoun, أَنْتُمْ Second person, you're directly talking to somebody, masculine, males, and plural. أَنْتُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ كِتَابُكُمْ Okay, Hamid says, Wa alaykumus salamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yani, and upon you be the salam and the mercy, rahmah, the mercy of Allah and His, yani Allah's barakah, barakatuhu, His barakat, yani blessings. Yani, al barakah means kathratu khair, yani a lot of good, barakah. One of the young men responded to him by saying, يعني أحد الفتياتي One of the fitya, one of the young men said كيف حالك يا عمي يعني Hamid obviously is older than them So he said كيف حالك يا عمي Oh my uncle عم means the father's brother, paternal uncle Feminine is amma with ta marbuta. Am and amma. Yani paternal, uncle, paternal aunt. Kayfa haluka ya ammi? How are you? How is your hal? Haluka. That's a possessive pronoun. Haluka. What is your hal? Your condition, your state. How are you doing? Oh, ammi. Hamid says, ana bikhairin. Walhamdulillah. Yani I'm well, I'm fine, I'm good. Walhamdulillah. And the praise belongs to Allah for that. Yani Allah is the one who's made my condition good. Kayfa halukum? Yani second person, masculine plural, possessive pronoun. Kayfa halukum? How is you all's hal? And then he asks the second question immediately. Man antum? Yani how are you all? And then he said, man antum? Who are you all? So here we have the possessive pronoun for second person, masculine plural, and we have the personal pronoun. Possessive pronoun kum, and the personal pronoun antum. Kayfa halukum? How is your hal? Man antum? Who are you all? One of them answered by saying, ahaduhum said, nahnu abana'u ad-doktori Musa. Nahnu, that's also a personal pronoun for first person plural. Nahnu, singular, ana, I am. Nahnu, we are. Abana'u ad-doktor Musa. We are the sons of Dr. Musa. Hamid says to them, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bi. I'm sorry, I didn't say marhaban bi, because that's how you normally say it. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaba. Yani, welcome to you all. Yani, this is the literal meaning of ahlan is ahl, family. And sahl is easy. And marhaban is, yani, from rahaba, yurahibu, to welcome somebody. So this is sort of a way of saying ahlan, that you all, you people are like family to me. Yani, that's how I'm yani, accepting you, as like you like my family. Wa sahlan, and you're being here with me, or me taking care of you, or yani welcoming you to my home or my place, is easy. There's no hardship involved. I'm happy to have you. And marhaban, yani, welcome. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban. Abukum sadiqi. Then he says, Hamid says, your father is my friend. Sadiqi. Yani the ya in the end of sadiq is the first person singular pronoun. Possessive pronoun. Sadiqi, my friend. Abukum, your father. Here we have two things. We have kum, which is the possessive pronoun for second person, masculine, plural, group of men, males. And we have abu, which is from the Asma al-Khamsa. And when it is an idhafa, as it is here, abu kum, you all's father, then, yani, it has a special rule, and that is, yani, if it is marfoon, the sign of being marfoon is not dhamma, it's wow. Okay, we had that when we had ab and akh in one of the very early lessons, right? Or not necessarily early lesson, but we had it, yani, some time ago. Okay, that was in lesson 10, yeah. So that was a little while ago, we're 14 now. Abukum. So abu, yani originally is ab. The extra waw is because it's an idhafa. If it's marfoon, it takes waw. If it's majroor, it takes ya. It will become abikum. Fi abikum. Yani or bi, or inda abikum. If it was mansoob, yani, because it's ism inna, no, we didn't have inna, that's in book 2. But in any case, it was mansoob, and the sign of it being mansoob is not going to be fatih, it's going to be aleph, it will be abakum. Okay, so again, Hamid says, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaba, abukum sadiqi, your father is my friend. And after a pause, he says, aina ammukum, ash-shaykhu Isa. Aina ammukum, where's your paternal uncle? Your father's brother, Ash-Shaykh Isa. Here I want to note that both Musa and Isa are words like we had before. Yani, I think in lesson 8, we had words that are ism maqsoor. They end with aleph. We don't see any vowel on it. Yani, Isa in this sentence, Shaykhu Isa, it is marfoon, like a Shaykhu. Yani, it's a bedel for Shaykhu. We didn't study this yet, but in any case, it's, yani, marfu'un, but we don't see dhamma. And the same thing, nahnu abana'u ad-doktori Musa. Yani, here, Musa is a bedel for ad-doktor. So it has to be majur, but we don't see a kasra. We don't see it saying Musi. We see Musa, okay, so the ya, the alif maksura on the end, it doesn't take a vowel, because it's not a consonant. So we don't see the vowel, but it is majroor. Okay, الدكتوري موسى. So it has to be majroor. And in this case, الشيخ عيسى. الشيخ is مرفوع, so عيسى is مرفوع, but we don't see the dhamma. Okay, so that goes back to what? اسم مكسور. اسم مكسور, which we had, يعني again, some time ago. يعني in lesson, what, 5? I'm sorry, not lesson 5, lesson 8, I think, yeah. اسم مكسور, we had in lesson 8. Alright, after this, أحدهم says, يعني when he asks, where's your uncle, Sheikh Isa? هو مريض. هو مريض. He is sick. هو الآن في المستشفى. He is الآن, right now, في المستشفى, in the hospital. Hamid says, شفاه الله. شفاه الله. Allah has healed him, literally. That's what it means, but what is intended by is a dua. May Allah heal him. After some time, he said, من هذه الطفلة التي معكم. Who is this tifla? This female infant. التي is the feminine of الذي. Who is this tifla? التي معكم. That is with you all. Who is this tifla that is with you all? One of them answered, هي أختنا. هي أختنا. يعني the نون فتح ألف on the end is the pronoun for the first person plural that we had نو in this lesson. نحنو is the possessive pronoun. نحنو is the personal pronoun. And na in أختنا is the possessive pronoun. أختنا. هي أختنا. She is our sister. Hamid then says, ما اسمها. يعني what is her name? يعني اسمها. This is, ha is a possessive pronoun corresponding to هي. Very person, feminine singular. What is her name? أحدهم said, اسمها ليلى. Her name is ليلى. Hamid says, أين بيتكم الجديد؟ أين بيتكم الجديد؟ Where is you all's new house? يعني here, بيتو is مرفوع, so the not الجديد following it is describing بيت, because الجديد is مرفوع with ضمة like بيت. أين بيتكم. Now, I don't expect you to maybe follow this completely, but if الجديد was describing you all, if it was, it doesn't make any sense here, but if it was describing you all, كم, so كم here is a pronoun, but it's مبنيون, it doesn't change. It's the مضاف إليه to بيت, بيتكم, you all's house, it's مضاف إليه, and مضاف إليه is مجرور. So here we say, كم is مبنيون, it's a pronoun, so it's مبنيون, but it's in the place where it should be مجرور. So if a not was describing, it would have to be مجرور, but we see this not, الجديد, is مرفون, so it is connected to بيتو. أين بيتكم الجديد, where's you all's new house? And he knew he is describing house. One of them answers. أحدهم says, بيتنا. Here we have the pronoun نا again. The possessive pronoun for first person plural, نحن. بيتنا الجديد قريب من المطار. من المطار. بيتنا again. بيت is مرفون. الجديد is مرفون. So الجديد is describing بيت. Our new house. New house. بيت. يعني is being described by al-jadid, new house. Our new house is قريبٌ near من المطار, near from the مطار. Now, no, I know in English we say near to, but in Arabic we don't say قريبٌ إلى. Okay, the pronoun that's used with قريبٌ is من. So please make a note of this. Don't try to translate near to the airport as قريبٌ إلى, near to. No, it's near from. In Arabic you say قريبٌ من. Okay, near from al-Mafar, the airport. Hamid says, أأنتم في المدرسة الثانوية, with shadda on the ya. أأنتم في المدرسة الثانوية, are you all in the secondary school, يعني high school? أحدهم, one of them says, لا, نحن بالجامعة. No, we are in the university, not high school. And then he begins to explain, each of them, أنا في كلية الهندسة. I am in the faculty of engineering. ومحمود في كلية الطب. And محمود is in the faculty or college of medicine. وإبراهيم في كلية الشريعة. And Ibrahim is in the faculty of Sharia, of law, Islamic law. ويوسف في كلية التجارة. And Yusuf is in the faculty of commerce. Hamid says, من ذلك الفتى الذي في سيارتكم؟ Who is that? ذلك. Who is that فتى, young man? الذي, the relative pronoun. الذي. يعني the feminine of الذي is التي. We saw it just a little while ago. من ذلك الفتى? Who is that young man? الذي في سيارتكم? Who is in y'all's car? كم again, second person, masculine plural, possessive pronoun. The counterpart of أنتم. Mahmoud says, answers, هو زميلي. He is my classmate. Hamid says, من أين هو? From where is he? يعني where is he from? من أين? And أين هو means where is he? من أين means where is he from? Okay? من أين هو? He's not asking where is he. He knows where he is in the car. But he's asking where is he from? من أين هو? He said, Mahmoud says, هو من إنكلترا. He's from England. Hamid says, ما اسمه? What is his name? Mahmoud says, اسمه William. William with a single dhamma. Why? It doesn't take tanween because it's a foreign proper noun. William is a proper noun. It's the name of a man, but it's a foreign name. So it doesn't take tanween. In this lesson we had, that foreign proper nouns are from one group of words that are mamnoom and asarf. They don't take tanween. And if they are majroor, by the way, if they are majroor in the position where they should be majroor, they don't take kasra either. Rather, they take fatha instead of it as a secondary sign. Hamid says, a muslimun huwa? يعني أهو مسلم? Is he a Muslim? Mahmoud says, لا. هو نصراني. No, he is a Christian. أبوه أستاذي. أبوه, his أبو, his father, is my أستاذ. يعني يا المتكلم, the يا in أستاذي is the first person. Singular pronoun for أنا. يعني possessive pronoun. أبوه أستاذي. اسمه, يعني his father is my teacher. اسمه, his name, يعني the name of his father is الدكتور إدوادو. إدواردو, يعني Edward. دكتور إدوادو. Here in the brackets we have, يعني some explanation about what's happening in the at on the scene right now. يعني Dr. Edward is the يعني father of this boy, and he's saying, يهديهما الله إلى الإسلام. يعني يهديهما. يهدي from هدى. يهدي means to guide. Guide both of them. Allah. May Allah guide both of them إلى الإسلام. Hamid says, he should have said Amin. Hamid says, أذهبتم إلى المستشفى لزيارة عمكم اليوم؟ أذهبتم, second person masculine plural, يعني the counterpart of أنتم. أذهبتم إلى المستشفى لزيارة عمكم. Did you all go to the hospital? لزيارة. لي is the preposition for, right? For the purpose of زيارة, visiting عمكم. Visiting of you all's paternal uncle, your father's brother. اليوم, today. Did you all go to the hospital? لزيارتي, for the purpose of visiting your uncle today. Yusuf says, نعم ذهبنا. First person, plural, possessive pronoun. نا, counterpart of نحن. Yusuf says what? نعم ذهبنا. Yes, we have gone. Okay, we're at the end of our time. So, yani that does it for the exercises. Inshallah, we will, in the next session, we will do all the exercises for this lesson. Okay, next session, all we're going to be doing are the exercises. Okay, so we have the bottom of page 83, the whole page 84, the whole page 85, and yani one exercise on 86, and memorization of the vocabulary words. All right, so we just have a few pages. 1, 2, 3. Yani a little bit more than 3 pages. So, for homework this week, inshallah, we're going to have all the exercises for lesson 14. And then, in addition to that, we're also going to have yani introduction to lesson 15. Maybe the English key and vocabulary. I'm going to see, and I'll look at it tomorrow and send out the schedule for the proposed schedule for homework assignments. But for next week, inshallah, any exercise you didn't do, do them. If you did them already, review them. And take the extra time to review previous lessons. Review 14, especially lesson 13. Try to memorize the broken plural patterns that you may have missed when we were doing lesson 13. Try to complete that with examples. And go back and review generally the points that I went over in the beginning of this session today. Okay, we're going to stop here so that we can go on to the next session for book 2. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Okay, we're going to take a 1-minute break, and then inshallah we're going to come right back for book 2.